And so, do you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us, everybody out there. We appreciate you tuning in. Hope your Thanksgiving is miserable and sufficiently genocidal. On the holidays, I know a lot of people are bummed out, and I'm with them on that. I don't want to bum people out the whole entire episode, but I do think the appropriate place to start off this week being Thanksgiving and the aftermath of Bloody Friday or Black Friday or whatever fucking racist bullshit the state is putting out and where people are encouraged to go bye. I think it's important for people to remember what this day really represents. Obviously, everybody understands the history of it listening to this show. We don't need to go into all the details of it, but it's important that when you sit down with, your family and friends, that you make sure that you ruin their Thanksgiving as much as possible. Not by like sticking screws in the cranberry sauce or whatever the fuck else you're going to do. That's fucked up kind of, but by reminding them endlessly and annoyingly that this day is not whatever ignorant bullshit they think it is. It's a holiday or whatever that is founded on lies and mass murder. And this might be the worst mass murder in human history. It's hard to say since there's been so many of them, but the complete annihilation of nations of Native Americans, nations of Native Americans, almost complete and total annihilation. So I'm not going to get into my feelings on gratitude, which is a whole nother bum out episode, and I'm not trying to bum people out, but it's important, that you bring this to light on this fucking awful day and the aftermath where people are just spending their hard-earned money on stupid shit that they don't really need. So, remember what this is all about. Quickly, there are two really good books that I recommend for people who are looking to get some knowledge through this awful holiday. They are two of the best books I've ever read. Like a Hurricane, The Indian Movement from Alcatraz to Wounded Knee by Paul Smith. It's a very fantastic book, super comprehensive for a lot of the Native American Indian movement in this country, especially talking about some of the most important stuff that the American Indian movement itself has done. So check out that book. And this other book, Retained by the People, A History of American Indians and the Bill of Rights, it's by John Wunder. It's pretty short. It was put out in 1994. It's a little bit outdated at this point, but when I read this book 15 years ago, it blew my mind in understanding how the United States has withheld access to basic rights even after the mass murder and genocide took place. Just letting Native Americans have access to very simple rights in this country while retaining their own land, it's been very, very complicated. It's been very awful. People have no idea the depth that this country has sunk to in its attempts to wipe out Native Americans. And Retained by the People, A History of American Indians and the Bill of Rights is an amazing book to talk to you about the real history of this country and that we have nothing to be thankful for, that this country has been stolen. Anyway, I thought it was important we start there because it is Thanksgiving week. Obviously, no one needs an excuse to get together with friends and family and share some food and have a good time. Well, obviously, we're not telling you to just, poison your siblings. But remember what day this is, and hopefully you can shit on their day and make another day, Groundhog Day. That would be a great day. Get together on Groundhog Day. That doesn't have so much genocide involved in it, and not to mention the turkeys who suffer endlessly. Anyway, let's not bomb each other out the entire day today. We got a ton of other stuff to talk about. There are good things happening in this world that can be hard to remember on a horrible holiday like this where people are just spending their minds shopping. But Cracktoberfest just finished up. This is the first Dispatches from the Underground that's being brought to you post-Cracktoberfest. And All Torn Up, my band, was on tour. We're on tour with Leftover Crack, who everybody is aware of and knows. And if they don't know, they fucked up their entire lives not knowing who they were up to this point. Leftover Crack had put out a new album. We did 3 weeks on the road with those guys. They were very, very considerate to invite us along. And we also were on tour those 3 weeks with his band Days and Days. And Days and Days, who I was relatively unfamiliar with before the tour. I had listened to their album. I thought it was really good. And I know that they had put out a split with Night Gaunts, who had come through New York a couple times, and I had seen their set here in the city. They're from New Zealand. So I was like sort of familiar with them. And Sturgeon had mentioned how good Days and Days was and that they were going to be on the album with him on the new Leftover Crack album. So I listened. I was blown away by their tunes. But I mean, meeting them and getting to know them was such a unique experience. They're such good people. And I was very lucky enough to convince them at the end of the tour to sit down with me and do a little interview. So this is what we did. This interview took place the last day we were together. So we were in Miami for a couple of days after the tour. The tour ended in Miami. Sadly, Jeff from Days and Days couldn't stick around. He had a death in the family, so he ended up having to go back to Texas. And we missed him very dearly in the episode and on the podcast and at the end of tour. Sounds like he's doing okay, but our hearts and our thoughts were with Jeff the entire time. And he was definitely missed. Jeff is the washtub bass player in Days and Days, and a dear, dear friend. We'll talk about Jeff a little bit more through the episode, but Jeff was not able to join us in the interview. Nevertheless, we did this interview on the beach. Literally, we're on the beach in Miami when this interview is taking place. In early November of 2015, Whitney, Megan, and Jesse from Days and Days did this interview with me, and they spent a lot of time, and they were very nervous about doing it. The sound was a little bit strange, so I hope it all comes through real clearly. But I think it was we had a fucking great time doing the interview itself. It was hilarious. It was a blast. I hope most of it makes sense to you. We talk about the interview. We talk a lot about things that happened on the road. We talk about the good, the bad, and the Leftover Crack, some good stories, some good times. And we also talk about what Days and Days has lined up in the future, some of the things that they are going to be doing. So I think y'all are going to dig it. I should just shout out real quick. Jason from All Torn Up was in the background while we were doing this. A bunch of folks put their day on pause to help make this happen because we were all sort of traveling together. It was really complicated to do these interviews. And, Jason from All Torn Up was hanging out with us that night in the background. Jeff obviously was not there, which was sad that Jeff couldn't be with us from Days and Days. He's absent from the episode. Paxton, Veronica, from Jesse's other band, Escape from the Zoo, they were in the background as well. I think that they have a couple little commentaries in there. Also, Gray from My Pizza, My World and a bunch of other great bands is also present and accounted for while we're doing this. So big shout out to all those guys while we were traveling with them. They were all super cool. They were super fun. Oh, and Mike was there too. Mike Schmidt was also there, who was holding down Days and Days merch the entire trip. So shout out to everybody who was there with us that night. And sorry we didn't have more mics for everyone to be included, but it was a good goddamn time, interview included. So, we joke a bunch on the episode, and we have a good time, and we're fucking around a bunch, and there's some silly shit we say, and we joked around the entire tour, and it was just a goddamn hilarious time the entire road trip. 3 weeks of nonstop laughs and good times. But all jokes aside, I really came to love and respect these folks in Days and Days and Escape the Zoo and My Pizza, My World. They were so genuine and good and open and honest. And on top of being Days and Days being this collective of incredibly talented musicians, they were so amazing. They were such amazing people. And I'm sure this happens on tour with most bands, but I don't get to do it enough. But this deep bond forms, you know, it's sort of like being in the trenches together, except like the opposite, right? Because in the trenches, you're doing something you don't want to be doing. This in this situation, we all got to be doing something we really love doing, which is making music every single night to sold out crowds of the best people. You know, Leftover Crack fans were the best people in the country. And we got to do that night after night after night together. And we all felt, the word's not lucky, because Sturgeon wouldn't be happy if I said lucky. But we felt like we were in the right place at the right time. And we were all busting our asses. I mean, it was hard work. It was grueling. It was more physically exhausting and grueling than I could have ever imagined this had been. But it was exactly what we want to be doing. And I felt, personally, I felt like it was with the people I want to be doing this with. I could tour the rest of my life with these people and feel like completely satisfied with everything my life has been. It was such a blast. Days and Days, they're such deeply rooted stand-up folks. And I had such a good time. You know, they go from town to town just making everybody so happy. And they have such respect for their crowd, for their fans, and for their friends. And seeing them perform, if you haven't seen them perform, you've done yourself a disservice. I know maybe you don't know their name as well as some other names, you know, Leftover Crack, obviously. And obviously, if you're listening to Dispatches, you might, you know, folk punk might not be your go-to genre. It's not my go-to genre either, but the more and more I listen to this band and the more when I saw them live, I think that they're bringing harder music than a lot of like electronically produced bands and plugged in bands. These guys kill. And I hope y'all give them a chance. We're going to listen to Days and Days all episode here, three of my favorite songs, and maybe I'll tack on a little bit more, but we're definitely going to listen to three of my favorite songs. And, you know, I'm just really glad that we got to do this episode. I'm glad we got to sort of like reflect on what happened this tour with these wonderful people. So all jokes aside, I dearly love these folks, Whitney, Megan, Jesse, and sadly Jeff wasn't on this episode, but hopefully we'll have him on an episode soon to make up for it. I love them, and I'm so happy we had a chance to make some beautiful music together. Couple of pieces of business real quick. All Torn Up is going to be playing December 12th at the Grand Victory with a bunch of great bands, including our good friends in Scum City. It's going to be a birthday show for our friend Flora. So come out December 12th. That's All Torn Up's last show for the year here in New York City. We're going to do a long set, and it's going to be something super special. So come out for that set December 12th at the Grand Victory. Also want to holler at a couple of things going on. You can listen to Dispatch from the Underground on our website by going to dispatchfromtheunderground.com. You can also subscribe there. You can donate there. We're going to talk all about that at the end of the episode. But if you don't know, you can also listen to us live on Real Punk Radio at realpunkradio.com. With great community going on over there. Incredible, incredible radio station with a ton of great programming. So Dispatch from the Underground is one show on that incredible programming. Go check them out, realpunkradio.com. And thanks again, Tommy Unit, for involving us in your community over there. And lastly, I want to let you know that next week on Dispatch from the Underground, we're going to have a very special guest who makes a little guest appearance on this week's episode. Sturgeon, a.k.a. Stizza Crack, is going to be on the show next week. And we're going to be talking to him about the tour, a little bit about what we talked about with Days and Days, and we're going to talk a little bit about this conference that he attended a few weeks ago about the drug laws in this country and drug reform in this country and prison reform in this country. And we're also going to talk to him about the new album, which is out this week, Constructs of the State. Make sure you go pick it up on any other day other than Buy Nothing Day, which you should obviously buy nothing on. But we're going to talk to him about all that stuff. That's going to be next week. Make sure you tune in. DispatchersFromTheUnderground.com. A free weekly podcast. Every single week we put up a new podcast, and it's 100% free. So if y'all dig it, if y'all like what we do, if you like this episode, if you love what Days and Days is saying on this episode and how we get down with it, spread the word, not only for Days and Days, who doesn't need a whole lot of our help because they're making it happen in incredible ways, but also for Dispatches. We have no advertising budget, so the only way people learn about this episode and about this show is by you sharing it with them. Pure, straight-up DIY. We rely on you to let people know what good we're doing, if we're doing any good. So if you like it, holler. Otherwise, if you hate it, you know, just stay silent. Who gives a fuck, right? Who gives a shit? Anyway, I think you will dig it. We have a lot to talk about. I don't want to hold up the episode any longer. I want to thank Days and Days again. And let's get to it. Days and Days, live from Miami Beach, Florida, South Beach. Not live, actually. We recorded this in early November, but whatever. It's sort of live. We are alive. Days and Days, minus Jeff, is Megan, Jesse, Whitney from Days and Days. Here we go. Get down. All right, tunes. Let's listen to a couple tunes by Days and Days. First one's first. I want to listen to what is arguably their hit. I don't know if they would call it their hit. I don't know if they'd be pissed by me calling it their hit. But I remember, I think one time, at one point, Whitney was on stage and saying, yeah, we'll play the masturbation song. We'll play the masturbation song. I think this is the masturbation song. I can't recall exactly if this was the one they played after that, but people were just screaming for it. They were clawing for it. And after hearing it night after night after night, there's an obvious reason why they're screaming for this song. This tune is infectious. It's so good. It just gets in your head. Be prepared to be humming that horn line from Whitney for the next couple of days because it is so fucking good. All right, here's Misanthropic Drunken Loner by Days and Days. Get down.
My breakfast was straight out the medicine cabinet, a remedy for the aftermath of my habits. Sometimes it's the ones who try to help that hurt the most. I feel like we're playing tug of war and I'm the rope and I'm stretched to the limit, but you keep on pulling in. I'm gonna lose my goddamn mind. I'm gonna lose my mind. Call me antisocial, call it masturbation. Either way, it's a solo operation. I'm just far more comfortable. Call me antisocial, call it masturbation. Either way, it's a solo operation. I'm just far more comfortable. Cause people are ugly and people are hateful, destructive and greedy. We're proud and ungrateful. The world would be so much better off without us. Follow a polar epilepsy. No combos to training, this great love's compelled. Distract ourselves to make us feel like we're not just mistakes. Stretch ourselves to make us feel like we're not just mistakes. It seems that everybody always has a bone to pick, a promise to break. Never again will I make the mistake of trusting anyone.
Trusting anyone.
Trusting anyone. This is my misanthropic confession. Human beings are a waste of breath and I exclude myself, I'm an asshole just like you. Cause people are ugly and people are hateful, destructive and greedy. We're proud and ungrateful, the world would be so much better off without us. So swallow a polar epilepsy. Raw compost and training, this great love to fill. Distract ourselves and make us feel like we're not just mistakes. My breakfast was straight out the medicine cabinet.
About you guys' plans for what's coming up and shit. We can talk about fucked up stories from the road. whatever.
Let's keep that shit under wraps.
Hell no, dude. What?
So I'm saying, you bust out your meth story again.
Take that
we
shit
have
out.
We have one interview where it just cuts off.
Mid-meth story?
Yeah, Jesse's like, well, this one time. It goes, and then it's like, Days and Days had a weird story,
nice.
And then it goes back in.
Yeah, it just stops?
Probably.
Yeah, you throw that in a couple times. It's not a full interview if someone doesn't call me a piece of shit. It's somewhere in the interview. So
can we just start out?
Yeah, just like let's be clear about this fucking piece of shit. And
what's up?
Hey.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Talking directly into it is better than not talking into it, Megan. I don't know if you've seen a microphone before.
No, I haven't. I don't fuck with that shit.
Yeah, you're the coolest.
All right, so let's do this. Let's fucking tour's over. Tour's done. You motherfuckers have put up with All Torn Up's bullshit for an entire month. And you're still talking to me, which is amazing.
Hey, you lucky piece of shit.
Yeah, exactly. Get it off the fucking bat. Get it right off the bat. How did you think it went? How did you think the tour went?
That's fucking
Cracktoberfest.
Amazing. It doesn't seem like it should have ever happened. But it did, and it was the jam. I can sincerely say is the most fun I've had playing music since we started.
Do you agree with that, Megan?
Yes.
I mean, if you're not going to pay attention, what the fuck are we doing here?
This has been my favorite tour so far. I like it.
Whitney's a podcast, so if you roll your eyes at what Megan's saying, no one sees that shit.
No, I had a great time. It was awesome.
Her teeth are literally clenched. And she's like, it's
oh
a great
my
time. but you motherfuckers tour like 365, like endlessly. You've been on the road since fucking when?
Between different bands, I've personally been on the road since February, and I am tired.
Yeah, tired of what in particular? Can we get like real specific about
fun?
Who you're tired about or what you're tired about?
I don't.
No.
Yeah.
Tired of All Torn Up.
Last night. Fucking you and me both, man. Last night, Whitney, you was in our van, and we were talking a little bit, and you were saying this story. This dude came up to you, and he said, oh, man, tour must be so much fun all the fucking time. And you're like, it's not just tour.
It's life, yeah.
I loved it. Say what are you talking about? No.
It's a job at some point. Like, it's still the greatest job in the world, but, there's a point where it's not like, I mean, everyone's like, yeah, you party every night, and we party so we can talk to people, and then once the show's over, we're done partying, and sometimes we just want to go to sleep. We don't want to, like, sleep at a squat where everyone's, like, shooting dope around us and shit. Like, it gets exhausting.
Yeah, like Netflix and a couch and like pizza rolls sounds like the best party I could ever even imagine. It seems so far away.
Take pizza rolls and Easy Cheese and you put the Easy Cheese nozzle in the pizza roll and fill it up with Easy Cheese?
And then put sriracha in that?
Ooh. I would literally fucking explode if I ate that, Jesse. I would literally shit. I would diarrhea spray across the fucking front of the van. And Days would come in here and be like, you motherfucking disgusting pieces of shit and all torn up. What do you think makes... So you tour endlessly. What do you think made this so much different than a lot of the other stuff that you guys do? Or was it not different, or was it just because the LLC fucking kills it every goddamn night?
I didn't... And it was like...
We didn't have to do anything.
I didn't know what to do with myself. Like, last night, I was like, oh, my gosh, I get a clipboard, and I get to, like, run around and, like, ask, do things. And, like, so that was, like, it made me feel better last night to, like, you were like, why are you doing this? I was like, don't worry about it.
You know,
I do things, and I like it. And
Whitney comes
so
up to me,
weird.
She's like, what do you want to eat? I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? You are the star of this deal here. Why are you asking me what kind of vegan bullshit I'm going to eat? She's like, just shut the fuck up. And tell me what you want to eat. I'm just bored. I'm bored with your bullshit.
I like keeping busy and like having like making my lists and things. And
I know.
I'm obsessed with it.
But how does it feel going? I mean, you've been through a lot of these towns already. This is not your first time.
This is
to fucking Birmingham, Alabama.
I've been cross country 5 times this year.
How many times have you been? We're in Miami right now. Right now, people don't know this. We are literally fucking sitting next to a fucking palm tree, like the top of a palm tree. I can't even explain to you what we're doing.
Beautiful. coconuts and shit.
We're sitting next to coconuts.
There's a giant clock over there.
In Miami, and what I assume is an ocean. I don't know. There's fucking man of wars out there.
It's the ocean.
And the tour is over. It's the last day. So people don't
know.
Tour's
never over.
Tour's never over. Life
is
never
over. A month and a half. And then we're back on the road.
Gray is trying to light us on fire while we're doing this fucking
sick.
Do an interview while you look this way. We're going to have a picture posted that was taken by Sturgeon. Lighting provided by Gray. That's going to be on this interview. But how does it feel? Having been through these towns so many times, it doesn't matter if Megan even gives a shit. Given through these towns so many times, and every motherfucker is singing those songs with you.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. I don't know. Usually we have a pretty okay crowd when we come through because we've been through so many times. But, I mean, coming through with fucking Left or Crack, it's like, you know. I think the last show, and it's just skewed, you know, statistic, but it is like the Facebook, like, I'm going to the event was like 600 something.
Mm-hmm.
That's
it
ridiculous.
Was
yeah, that's like more like people that can fit in the fucking club. So getting a chance to play for that many people is really awesome. And I mean, I'm sure some people don't like our music, but fuck it. You still get to play for that.
But he said, obviously.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
If everyone likes you, then you're doing something wrong.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, we got big problems with that, too. So I totally
understand. I mean, I don't want people that I don't like liking, you know, like, whatever.
Yeah, totally. But, I mean, when everybody in a room who's here to see, you know, on this big tour, Leftover Crack, and the fucking room is screaming your tunes, and you guys literally last night at Churchill's, you two literally jumped on the crowd and were singing as the crowd carried you. It was fucking wild.
It was beautiful.
It was magical.
It doesn't make any sense that it should happen. Yeah, it's fucking magic.
It was magical. I mean, a lot of bands try to get to that, but you
really
guys
are
doing
like,
it every night.
There's times where we're playing and there's like people yelling lyrics back at me, and I'm like, why the fuck do you like this? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It's like, it's overwhelming. I don't know. I like, there's some shows where it's like, I don't know. It's like so much. It's like, I don't know. I, like, tear up. I'm like, how the fuck did I, like, out of all the shit that I've done in my life, and like, this is what all the shit, like, piled up to, and this is my life, and it's weird, and it's, like, super humbling. I don't know. It's weird. It's just weird.
I mean, it just hits all these notes. Megan, you could just jump in whenever you want to, also. She's just leering at me. What do
you like your cigarette?
I mean, I feel like when you guys are playing, there is this energy that is like reverberating through the crowd. And I know you guys want to play on the ground in the first place, so you hate doing the stage thing. I feel like you guys hate being on the stage in the first place.
It just doesn't seem as like personal and intimate, and I like that.
Are you guys?
It's just instead of like. Instead of a show, it's more like we're just playing music with our friends that are all drunk with us. like house parties are the best, in my opinion.
There's no pressure.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you still feel... Are you feeling pressure on these shows when there's an entire room
what?
Full...
Are you serious?
I'm terrified.
This was the most stressful...
What?
Like, few weeks of my life.
I just played 21 shows with you guys in rooms full of people everywhere in fucking crazy ass towns were screaming your vocals till their blood was fucking boiling in their throats.
I do this weird thing with my legs and like I'm like like on stage like
Mr. Poopy. What do you think it's gonna take for you guys to feel comfortable?
I hope
like,
I never get
that.
Comfortable.
Yeah, I feel like once you get comfortable with it then
you have nothing to prove.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you got to have something to prove, or you have to have a goal to strive towards. The day we're comfortable is the day that it's not fun anymore.
Hmm. And also, if you don't, I don't know, if people, I kind of just assume that people are going to be like, oh my God, this is going to be a shit show train wreck. And like proving people, like, especially with the instruments that we have and holding a stage with what we've got and being able to like deliver that and going beyond people's expectations of what they think we are and showing them who we actually are, like, that's the biggest motivation every time. I perform, I'm like, yeah, I might be 5 foot, but I can fucking scream your fucking face off, and I will fucking wail my horn, and I will show you what these words like mean to me in my core.
We're holding half of our band is a laundromat from the 1800s. Like, yeah. It's a washboard and a gut bucket and an acoustic guitar and trumpets. Like, the weirdest.
Part of my favorite part about this tour was when we showed up to every venue. I don't even know if you guys know this. When we showed up to every venue, we talked to the sound guy for the first time. The sound guy's like, oh, what's the setup? And we told him, like, what LLC's doing. And we told him what Alter and Up's doing. And then they're like, okay, well, what about Days and Days? And we're like, well, listen, dude. It could go, like, it could go two ways.
Listen, dude. Right?
I don't want to speak for him, but, you know, this could be, like, the easiest part of your night or the hardest part of your night. It could be, you know, they have a washtub bass, and every recording guy's, like rolls his eyes, and he's like, oh, well, at least they don't have a washboard. Like, that shit drives me, like, well, let me finish, first of all.
Every time a sound guy comes up to me, they're like, all right, what do you need? I'm like, all right, it's going to be weird. So we got this big-ass bucket. It's in the back of our van, our sketchy
Shout
van,
out to Jeff, who's not here with us today.
You're going to put that on the ground. and then we got a washboard. They're like,
Well, Whitney, what are you going to plug that into?
Yeah.
How many outlets do you need?
We built our own microphone back in the day out of, we reversed a speaker.
And
we, it was a box speaker, and we just stuck it under there, and it worked for like a year, and then it exploded in the van.
Yeah. Not even on stage, in the van, under a pile of dogs.
Vans eat everything that you love.
Yeah. Five dogs. Yes. Shoot that shit up.
20 kids, 12 dogs, or 24 dogs, 12 kids, I'm sure.
Every dog has a kid.
Every dog has a kid.
And how many abortions?
Yeah. An endless number of abortions. When you guys are playing, what do you want to get out? Like, what do you want the crowd to walk away with? Like, what is, I want to know from each one of you, Megan, so it's going to come to you, and then if you can go last if you want to. You want to. Jeff's not here, so I'll speak for Jeff after you. I feel like I can channel Jeff at this point. But when the crowd walks in, they're there to see Days and Days. They know your tunes. This is not, like, you're in a situation where you don't need to win over the crowd because they know they're fucking geared up. They've been fucking stoked on you guys coming through Omaha for 6 months. What do you want them to walk out with? And I know it's different. I'm sure it's different for each one of you, so I want to hear it.
Or you can answer personally, a different question. I think knowing that you're not alone, like, even if it's for one night or for, like, one song or that one word or whatever, you know, we get trapped in our minds and in, like, how fucked everything is, you know, and being able to get together and kind of share either a singular happiness or a singular struggle or something, you know, we're all in this together, and, you know, that's for me.
Jesse, what do you think?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing. Like,
that's a goddamn cop-out. You can't say the same shit.
No.
You can't say the same shit.
I mean, what, we can't feel the same feeling.
No.
Feeling the same as your friends is a cop-out.
Yeah, totally, 100%. It's fucking bull. That doesn't make good radio, bro.
I don't know. I just want everyone to leave sweaty.
You can say the same thing. I'm just fucking around.
But there's a word that I'm looking for that I can't fucking remember. It's pissing me off. Because I feel like half the time people can't, especially when we play on the ground, I know no one can hear the music. It's just like 40 kids screaming together. Like, it's not even about the instrumentation,
like,
or anything.
Kids screaming together.
It's just like everyone screaming. It's a fucking, I don't know, it's
cathartic.
Fucking, thank you, Joey.
I see
you're not
eyes.
A piece of shit.
That's how I win people over on this
microphone,
motherfuckers.
That's exactly what I was trying to, yeah, it's like, it's just a bunch of kids screaming together. I swear to God, we could just stop at the end of the set and just everyone would just scream for 10 minutes and it would be that. Yeah, I want people walking away being like, holy shit, like, what the fuck happened? That wasn't even a show.
Yeah.
I was just yelling for 20 minutes.
Yeah, cathartic. Yeah, I totally see it in your eyes. All right, Megan, you can just give me, what do you want people to leave with? Like, they come to see Days and Days and you're, how do you want them to walk away from it? If the goddamn fucking pig! bags will stop flying over us. What the fuck? Sturgeon, can you tell these guys to back the fuck up? Can somebody get on here? We got 50 guys up here. Can you just tell me ease up?
You don't have any answer.
Was it because I yelled?
Make sure you get it. Record that.
We're gonna. Are you gonna puke?
We're gonna do this. Is how Megan wants you to leave the show.
It's awesome.
We love you.
Megan is the guy.
I'm gonna answer for Megan then. Joey, I feel like when I want people to leave the show, I just want them to hate All Torn Up. And I don't care about anything else. Yeah. As long as at the end of the set, people come up to me and said, "You guys fucking crushed that first bullshit piece of shit." Was that band from New York? They fucking sucked. So, okay, Megan, I agree. I understand. I understand that. Thanks for being so honest.
Damn, that was the classiest thing I've seen in a hot minute.
Yeah. This is not the first. People throw up on my shows all the time.
Audible vomit?
It's the first someone being on the show and throwing up. A lot of times people listen and throw up. And like, why is he talking so much? I thought he was interviewing someone. But I mean, I think that's something special, too, about this tour. Megan, please don't hit me. You don't hit me, please.
What?
Don't hit me.
Okay, calm down.
I'm calm. I'm fucking calm.
I don't want no problems.
I think that's something special, too, about this tour and why it worked so well. I'm not going to speak for Sturgeon, but I think it worked so well.
Right here.
I know. We only have two mics.
You have to channel me.
I think this tour went so well because I feel like we all wanted that thing. We all wanted that people to feel not alone and to get past the alienation. And just like there's warmth that came through. It's no jaded punk bullshit. No one was trying to fucking pull some ego shit. Like all three of the bands were just like, we're going to bring this together and we're going to have a good fucking time. And we're going to fucking make some music together and we're going to sing along and that's it.
Hell yeah. That's how every show felt. I mean, aside from, you know, like, you'll have like a drunk asshole every now and then that'll like try and fight somebody in the pit. But for the most part, it was like, and when I was in the pit for any of the bands that played any of the shows, is someone would just throw their arm around me or like tousle my hair and start yelling with me. Like, it's just super, I don't know.
Jesse was in the pit for almost every single Leftover Crack second that they were playing. If Leftover Crack was playing, Jesse was in the pit getting thrown around, breaking his shoulders and fucking himself up right before he played.
I get fucked up. The monitor fucked me up three times. The first time I got thrown onto my collarbone onto the monitor, and then while I was in the pit.
When that happened, other dudes.
It's totally better now.
When it happened, one of the dudes All Torn Up came to me and they're like, holy fuck, dude, you should see what happened to Jesse. He's done. He's done. There's no way he's getting up from that. I saw him 10 minutes later and he's like, that don't hurt, son.
And then also, a couple days after that, I was in.
It's pretty fucked up.
Did it look fucked up?
Yeah. It was protruding.
Like 2 days after that, I was like next to the monitor while Leftover Crack was playing and someone slammed my fucking face against the edge of it. And then after that, I was trying to get up on stage to sing Gang Control. And it looked like I was having trouble. So people just threw me on the stage and slammed my knee into the monitor. And I was hobbling around. Sturgeon was like, are you making fun of me? And I was like,
oh, yeah.
No. No, I fucked my shit up.
I don't remember what city it was. Kansas City, I think, it was Kansas City when the stage was literally getting ripped apart. The stage was like literally the fucking crowd was ripping the stage apart.
What the fuck? I didn't even see that.
It was fucked up. It was when Gang, because you guys were partying for Gang Control and I was holding the goddamn stage together.
Holy shit.
The stage was getting ripped apart by the crowd. And so I went in the front and there was no security. So I held the stage together. And I still have bruises all over my legs from holding the fucking stage. That was the last time I went in the pit. Because I was like, fuck this. I'm done,
son. You know, I was really
surprised.
I can't remember what city it was in. But there's a city where we all played on the floor. And I was like, oh, my
Alabama,
God.
Alabama, you guys played in Birmingham, Alabama. You played on the floor.
At that like,
Saturn.
Art space.
Oh, the Bog Ward in Milwaukee.
Is that what?
Yeah, Borg Ward.
Something like that.
Yeah.
You're talking about
Borgward.
Wait, this is the only show that was on completely on the floor. Like,
no, you guys played in Birmingham. You played on the floor too.
Springfield.
There's literally three
at the art space.
We literally just ran down three spaces.
No, it was an art space.
Borgward.
No, that was all mic'd up.
It was it was mic'd up.
Milwaukee. And they were like, I thought you meant when we. Oh my god.
In Springfield, Illinois.
No, it was Milwaukee.
Where Jeff fought the fucking biggest
Milwaukee,
security guard I've ever seen in my life.
Milwaukee is an art space. It was like BYOB, and it was like stage at all.
Yep.
And I was like, Milwaukee. Oh, my God, Leftover Crack's going to get murdered.
Yes.
And then surprisingly enough,
behind the keyboard insane.
It was brutal. The mic was broken. People were Brad played with the mic around his neck the entire time.
I thought it was going to be so much worse. I was like, someone's going in the drums.
Thank God that place capped off the number of people coming in. Like, you know, when we played Detroit, it was so crazy and packed, and it was dangerous.
That was fucking insane.
That shit was nuts. In Detroit, when the fucking crowd was, like, trying to get out, they were crushing each other.
Detroit's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a bad one to forget. Dirty Kid played with us that show, and it was just beyond packed. But thank God the Borg Ward, thank science, the Borg Ward dudes, like, capped that shit off and turned people away. Otherwise, it would have been really fucked up.
Yeah, people would have died.
Yeah.
There's the first show was Pittsburgh, right?
Pittsburgh, yeah.
That was the scariest. That was maybe the most intimidating first show they could have possibly booked for the tour.
So I lost my vest that night, and I blacked out also because I was very nervous. And I remembered in the morning that it was like not my first time being in like a really super fancy green room, but definitely one of the first.
That was fancy, yeah.
And that was the first time I got really drunk, and I was just like, all this shit is calm. And I raided them. Fucking place, and I was just like, tea, honey, I don't give a fuck. And I was just imagining them having security cameras in the green rooms and watching this tiny lady just on a drunken rampage, like scoring, like putting tea bags into my, like stuffing them in my. I'm sorry, Megan.
No, I'm just trying to ask
I'm
you.
I'm rambling. I'm not even saying it.
Was Pittsburgh where I got that free tequila?
No one knows. Everyone's blacked out.
Yes. Yes, yeah.
It was the first show.
Oh, you fucking got it from the dude on the street who just gave you the shit. We just told you the story.
We all showed up, and we're like, we had not practiced. We hadn't even been together in like a month. So we're like, okay, we have no idea what to expect. We show up, and they're like, okay, here's your passes, and go up the stairs to the green room. And we walk in, and we're like, what the fuck? Like, there's waters, there's beers, and we're like, oh my god, it's like Spinal Tap. And then we're like practicing in the back room, and then we walk out, and there's like an ocean of people, and we were like, oh, we're gonna fuck this up so bad. Like, it was the worst. I mean, it ended up being the best. That was so fucking.
That show
was
incredible. Pittsburgh was amazing. You want to say something? yeah, that show was great. That was the first time I met you guys, and I.
Oh my god! I have to admit, it took me a few days
weeks.
To actually realize what y'all look like and like what y'all's names were.
You have the craziest names. Was it like
Joey?
What is that?
Joey? Like, what the fuck? Who's Joey?
Yeah,
it's
what
like
the
75%.
Fuck does Joey mean? Yeah. It was like it's French for a piece of shit, and then cello is.
I remember you messaged me on Facebook, and you were like, hey, can we book this one show? And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'll be on tour at that time.
Yeah.
And you were like, Whitney, this is Joey. I'm going to be on tour with you. And I'm like, I'm an asshole. Oh, fuck.
You were only an asshole because we had talked multiple times before that, Whitney. That's the only reason.
Yeah.
Less of an asshole, more just forgetful.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I don't. My sister doesn't even remember.
That was
fine.
Like one of like 100 emails. I was like, I gotta get through these like right now.
No, it's all good. Jesse booked that show anyway with me, so we had that shit covered.
That was a good time. Yeah. We ruled that in person show.
Yeah, fuck yeah. That's back to the basics, man.
Fucking raged.
Pittsburgh was like 50,000 people. It was like a stadium.
Escape from the Zoo and all torn up in Memphis, and there's 10 people.
Yeah.
And they're raging though.
That fucking pit was brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought someone was going to get hurt.
People did. Yeah, Ben got hurt. Broke his cymbal, man. Broke that shit in half.
Oh, fuck. That was a good time.
Well, right. Get down. All right, let's listen to another tune. This is a good tune to play from Rogue Taxidermy, which is their most recent album, the album that they were selling most fervently while we were on tour. And it's a good one to listen to because this really was what we were like sitting in when this tour ended. You know, it was like this post-tour sadness and joy. It was like happy that the tour happened, but also sad that it was over. And I think that the title of the song speaks to that, but I think the content of this song is so good, and it was one of my favorite songs to scream along to while the tour was happening, because I think it speaks directly to the crowd, and not just like in a lecturing way, but in a super fun way. And you know, as all this shit's coming down, as all the things are sort of like turning from good to bad, as things get crazy and people run from the cops and everything starts falling apart and your plans start to crumble and things fail, what the fuck will you do? You know, just what the fuck will you do? And what the fuck are you going to do? Post-party depression. Get down.
The world's a scary place, everybody's afraid, whether they'd like to admit it or not, it's the truth. Sooner or later, this party gets busted and all your friends stumble back home. You're the loose cannon, you can never be trusted, so you'll hide from the cops all alone. Again, tell me when the fire dies down, what the fuck will you do? When the band comes around, what the fuck will you do? Who's gonna be there to catch you when your plans all fall through? When you were flying your white flag, who never gave up on you? It constantly plagues my mind. Where will I be in 10 years? Will I be homeless or buried or have children and be married? Or will I still be stuck standing right here? Either way, it's been a privilege to have had time to spend with my wonderful family and friends. So I'll toast to all of you and do all that you do. You're fucking awesome, don't you ever forget. Cause when the fire dies down, what the fuck will you do? When the man comes around, what the fuck will you do? Gonna be there to catch you when your plans all fall through. When you're flying your white flag, who never gave up on you. Tell me when the fire dies down, what the fuck will you do? When the man comes around, what the fuck will you do? Who's gonna be there to catch you when your plans all fall through? When you were flying your white flag, who never gave up? When the fire dies down, what the fuck will you do? When the man comes around, what the fuck will you do? Who's gonna be there to catch you when your plans all fall through? When you were flying your white flag, who never gave up?
Pick it up, pick it up, pick it up, pick it up.
lastly, what do you guys got planned?
What's that?
What do you guys got planned? What's the plan? I want to know. I want to know
big
tours,
plans.
But I also want to know big recordings because people want more fucking tunes.
So, this is 2016 as of now. For Days and Days, we have
2015's done. It's over.
I clocked out. I'm done. We have New Year's Eve that we're playing in New Orleans with Leftover Crack, and
with
going
who?
On a this band. You might probably never heard of them.
Is that Chokey Victim?
Oh,
I'll check him out.
Watch out.
Yeah, I'll check him out.
And then I think we're going 10 days with y'all. 10 or 11 dates through the Southwest.
Leftover Crack, Pears, Days and Days, Krig Blast, and maybe Locals. And New Orleans on New Year's Eve is going to be at Siberia with at least maybe Rats on the Wall or Most Heinous or Short Leash or Mea Culpa. At least a couple of those bands are going to be playing. Two of the four, at least, I would say, that I just mentioned.
And so...
Pears, too.
The tour is with Leftover Crack, Pears, Days and Days, and Krig Blast. It's going to be a good tour. Another good tour. It's going to be great because All Turn Up won't be there.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to pull the mic away real quick and edit that shit out.
Just
you guys got Pears, and Pears is basically like lower class All Turn Up, so that's fine. Yeah, it's like you guys got All Turn Up light, so it's all good. That's fine.
Before we move on from the tour from New Orleans to where, Albuquerque?
To Arizona. Through Texas, New Mexico.
When people heard that we were going on a tour with you guys, they're like, I have so many messages. There are people just pissed that we're not. They're like, really? You're not gonna play Houston? You're not gonna play your hometown? You're gonna tour with Leftover Crack and not gonna play Houston?
If they have Texas IDs, they're not allowed in.
We would get murdered.
When there was no New York show for this tour, I literally got death threats from people. They're like, I can't fucking believe you sellouts won't play in New York. What's fucking wrong with you?
People get really, like, personally.
They're like, fucking, you guys can't, you're too cool to play New York now? It's like too big.
Did you say yes? No, I'm just joking.
We played two New York shows, motherfuckers. Who do you think New York is?
They forgot that New York City's part of New York State, though. So it's like an autonomous zone.
Fucking idiots.
The words from Sturgeon, folks, that y'all need to go to school. So what else is planned?
Okay, so that tour. We have in the works our next full length. We haven't released a full length since 2013. We've released a shit ton of splits, which we love doing because we love our friends and we like our friends' music more than us, so doing that with them. But we're in the works of writing and recording our next full length that will be released in 2016.
That's all you're going to do in 2016. It's going to come out in 2016 because people are going to be like listening. Millions of people around the world are going to be listening to this and being like, like, why are you laughing at that, Jesse?
Sometime. It's called Crustfall.
You get it? Like,
Trustfall, but Crustfall.
Yeah. I'm going to work out the
We're going to have
so
some.
Like all of us falling into Satan's hands.
No, into Cthulhu's.
Cthulhu.
Both of them.
Yeah, they got two hands, dude.
But I want Cthulhu's face to be my dog, Tim's face.
This is a hard avatar.
I know, yeah.
This is going to
be a complicated
cover.
If anyone can help us out,
cover.
That'd be great.
Doesn't have hands.
Oh, yeah, yeah, tentacles.
Wait, does he? I thought he has hands and tentacles on his face.
We're going to have to get my copies of H.P. Lovecraft. I might actually have it in my backpack.
Okay, there's human hand, elephant hands, and tentacles.
We're getting way off track. You can look up Cthulhu.
Look up Cthulhu.
You guys got to get this fucking album cover done in the next, like, fucking 4 months. This shit's got to get printed.
Okay, hold on. Well, we have to do a think tank first.
No pressure.
We got to, you know, bring in our illustrators.
Let me know when you want me to draw that. I got your back.
You know, Europe that we fly in first class.
Fuck yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Full length, 2016.
And then we are planning a Europe tour for next summer.
Summer, like June, July, August, fucking
probably 2016. July and definitely all of August. Yeah. So
that's intense. That's a huge fucking year.
It's It's going to be a big year.
Every year is a big year.
Every year is a big year. Especially, yeah, getting shit done. We
and
just
then in between then, I'm sure that Whitney's side project, My Pizza, My World, will probably be touring. And I'm going on tour with the band that I'm in with my little sister called Chad H. George in February. And then my electric band, Escape from the Zoo, is touring in, like, April and May, I think.
Well, why don't you guys make more music? I mean, that's fucking, what, you have 5 fucking bands here? Why don't you guys tour a little bit? Yeah, right? Why don't you guys get on the road a little bit and, like, stop being such posers?
You're being fucking lazy, right?
It's a little bit, Whitney, it's bullshit because it's a podcast, so you can't see any of the faces you're giving me. Your clenched jaw of just like, did that motherfucker just call me a poser? Because didn't we just tell him we're touring a bunch? Didn't we just say we're on a bunch of tours? All right. Okay, I'll stop. Megan, you got to talk into the goddamn microphone.
I'm talking to her. All I said was all of the fucking tours forever.
Forever tour.
Life
Prima
goes
tour.
On. Yeah. Crustopia.
We have nothing else but music and touring. So if we're not doing this, then we're...
Keep it steady.
Probably in a really bad place.
Where should people go to stay in touch with all this shit, like to make sure they know what's going on?
They can write us a personal letter.
Snail mail style.
Where, just kidding.
And just put it in the mail and then just leave it
don't
on the,
do that. Don't
just
do that.
Leave it on the side of the road next to the venue.
We
the
also
biggest venue
accept
in the city.
Pigeons.
Yeah, carrier pigeons.
Carrier pigeons.
Yeah, and Jeff will just capture them.
If you
them
want
and hold
a CD, you can get one online for free and burn it. Or you can go to one of our shows and you can watch us burn it for you.
That's seriously legit. Every show that we played on this tour, either Mike or Grayson was burning CDs at the merch table. Or Paxton.
No, Paxton.
Paxton doesn't exist.
I didn't see Paxton burn a single goddamn CD, to be totally honest with you. I saw Mike and Gray doing a lot of shit.
Also, FedEx, you can find our images online.
The wine
and print that and make it your own CD cover, DIY till you die.
A lot of fucking work.
Yeah, this is really putting a lot of fucking...
Life is work.
Life is work.
Yeah, Sturgeon, take a little lesson here. Life is work, buddy.
We do have merch for sale online from our beautiful, amazing merch person, Kelly. She's from Portland. It's her and her mom. It's Patch Trash on Etsy. Please support her because she deserves everything, and we wouldn't be sustaining as a band without her.
Mm. Patch She's Trash.
Patch
Trash.
She has tons of merch on there. On Etsy. At Etsy. Or on Etsy. Whatever. Please support her. She is extraordinarily... I think she just turned 20.
Holy shit.
And she owns her own business and
fuck.
With her mom. And
I gotta get my shit together.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I got her wasted when I was
in
Portland.
Oh, way to go. I was just going to edit that shit out, Whitney.
No. She got herself wasted.
Cops don't listen to this.
She drank a bunch of Steel Reserve and partied down, and it was awesome.
She found that Steel Reserve on the side of the street. We were just kidding. Yeah. It was totally mythological.
Just kidding, because
211 is the best choice.
Megan said two things. Can we get you to say that one thing for the interview?
It was...
What did you say?
It was...
Can you say it?
No.
What did you say?
No. I was trying to have a conversation.
I'm sorry. Is our interview interrupting your conversation? Go ahead. We'll wait.
Yeah, have your conversation. Then
we'll
get that quote.
We'll wait. We'll have some fucking cake.
I believe
it's
it was 211 is the best choice. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Are you confirming this?
Choice?
The worst. All right, official.
You can't flip that shit. Whatever. We all know we are.
No, you have to take a 40 of 211 and then get a pineapple 211 and make a sidewalk slam.
I'm going to cut all the drinking tips out. My podcast, the fucking Sober Pricks.
Yeah, please,
shit out.
Please cut all that out. That's the worst. I don't want. No one should ever drink 211 mixed with 211. That's what you drink right before you hang yourself.
That is like a double incest shit. It's incest because that's what fucking people drink when they're incestuous,
that's
and it's fucking
fucked.
Like inside of its own shit. We can't tell meth stories, but we can tell 211 stories. It's the same shit. It's the same bullshit.
They both ruin lives.
If you want to make meth, you just boil 211 down. That's all it is. It's why people blow up their fucking bathtubs.
It's just 211 and Jolly Ranchers.
All right, listen. Last call. Last call here.
Okay, hold on.
Wait, we got a recipe that I have to cut out later. Let's fucking say. Let's interrupt the fucking interview for that.
I dropped Megan off to go hop a freight train.
Because Megan is a freight train.
She sent me this picture right afterwards with the pineapple 211 and a regular 211. And she's like, I know you were laughing at me yesterday for this, but it's actually not bad at all.
I've seen her drink it. I've seen her
actually drink it. This is my best friend, Megan, and I love her, and I support everything that she does. And if she says it's good, it's pretty, I'm sure it's good.
Except for pineapple fucking
yeah,
shit.
I don't support that.
Really, out of everyone, Jesse, really?
Yeah, does it, that should speak to something. If I'm saying no, that's not good.
Listen, I do want to make sure that Jeff gets represented because he wasn't here with us. He had to deal with some heavy shit. So, Jeff, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably not, like everybody else, not listening to this. But if you did accidentally listen to this, we're all thinking about you.
Killing so, it. He murdered it the whole tour.
He was unbelievable.
Yeah. He's the man.
We love you, Jeff.
We love you dearly, brother. All right, last words. Last call here. What do you want people to do?
Whatever they want.
Just whatever.
Watch Rick and Morty. You can do anything you want to.
You heard that? That's Days and Days' next big motherfucking hit. You can do anything you want to, motherfuckers.
Yeah, in A minor.
Yeah. I don't know how to fucking turn this goddamn thing off. Thank you guys for coming on, though. I know it's just fucking bootleg. I got this bootleg set up.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Sorry. But I'm going to cut all that Steel Reserve shit out, though. All right. Get down. All right. I wanted to play this song because Days and Days was kind enough to invite us on stage at the last show in Miami, and we did this tune with them. It was something special, especially getting this, you know, Jeff went through some tough times there at the end, and especially getting to sing with Jeff on that song felt good. So this tune is more than just a self-destructive anthem. I think it's really a call to people in this country and in this world, anyone who hears this tune, to realize they're not alone. So even though this is a self-destructive anthem, to me, it's like, I don't think Days and Days is ever, I never told Days and Days this, that they're hearing this for the first time. They're probably going to be sending me an angry email to cut this part of the episode out. To me, this song is really a call and a unity call to like everybody out there who's had these feelings and sensations and just to remember that we're not alone. And I think Days and Days does this really well, to remind people that they're not alone. We're all in this together, singing these songs together, playing these tunes on the floor, no mics if possible. And I think this song does it really, really well. It's off their split with Chicos del Muertos, and it's featuring the Heathens. It's off the Thanks Mom split. It's called Self-Destructive Anthem, and I love it very much as I love the band playing it. Days and Days. Get down.
Shaking from the DGs or the cold. By the way, I'm feeling shitty, man. This suit team's getting old. Why do I do this? Why? Why do I do this to myself? Well, I wake up suffocating cause my lungs are filled with tar. I've wasted far too many hours blacked out at the bar. Why do I do this? Why? Why do I do this to myself?
From a life I wanted years ago. So I'm swaying this road I'm on and where I called home.
Why do I do this? Why? Why do I do this to myself?
Chained down to a city, to a lover, to a bed. Door is swung right open, I'll just sit at her here instead.
Why do I do this? Why? Why do I do this to myself? I'm self-destructive.
disgusting. No one can save me. You asked me if I love you, I said maybe. Why would you love me? You should learn to hate me. I'm going nowhere fast.
I'm feeling guilt, guys, I never seem to call. Even though I'm far away, this world seems so small.
Why do I do this? Why? Why do I do this to myself?
Bitch, and I am broke still, have money for this fear. The letters that I wrote to you, you can't see them from here.
Why do I do this? Why? Why do I do this to myself? The weasel, baby, everybody.
Can I beg for pennies, maybe a bit more? My friends far away aren't the best thing that I've got in store.
Why do I do this? Why? Why do I do this to myself?
Driving down the interstate, going way too goddamn fast. A few more hours, we'll be crashing, but later on we'll laugh.
Why do I do this? Why? Why do I do this to myself? Wait, how do you do?
Smoking crack with the RZA!
Why do I do this? Why do I do this to myself? I'm self-destructing, no one can save me. You asked me if I love you, I said maybe. Why would you love me? You should learn to hate me. I'm going nowhere fast. My problems to my problems I ignore. Never mind my answer, mind, fuck what I'm running for. Why do I do this? Why? Why do I do this to myself? Well, we traveled to New London and got laid out on the floor. Fuck being nice, I swear I will not be nice anymore. Why do I do this? Why? Why do I do this to myself? I'm self-destructing, no one can save me. You ask me if I love you, I said maybe. Why would you love me? You should learn to hate me. I'm going nowhere fast. I said maybe. Why would you love me? You should learn to hate me. I'm going nowhere fast.
Mom and Dad don't know everything.
Oh boy.
All right, that's the end of the episode. I want to thank all y'all for tuning in. We really appreciate y'all tuning in every single week. We know, you know, we've been doing this a long time, and we appreciate everyone who's subscribed to us. And it means a ton to us that y'all tune in every single week. You know, if you do have the money in this holiday season, we don't want you to spend it on Buy Nothing Day, obviously. But if you can spare a few bucks and you do listen to this show every week, go to our website, dispatchersfromtheunderground.com. Subscribe to us, obviously. It's free every single week. You can get it on iTunes and whatever else. But also, donate. We ask for people to give a little donation if they can. If they can't, it's not a big deal. But you know, if you have the money and you dig what we do, we appreciate the donation. You know, send us a message, hit us up on Facebook or on Twitter at DFT Underground or whatever social media shit you use. You know, holler at us. Let us know what you think about it. Holler at everybody else. If you don't have any money, holler at everybody else. Let them know that you listen to Dispatches. This is something you do every week. You appreciate what we're putting out. And let them know you're part of the community. That's the least you can do if you actually dig what we do. And it means a lot to us. You know, we don't have an advertising budget, so the only way people listen to this show is if you spread the word. So spread the word. Spread the word about Dispatches. Spread the word about Days and Days, obviously. They don't need our help. They're already killing it out there. So, but, you know, if you dig it, spread the word. That's all. That's the only way we do it. It's DIY, you know, do it yourself. Also, you know, it's not just digital. If you're in New York City, we're playing, All Torn Up is playing a show December 12th at the Grand Victory. It's a Saturday night. It's a birthday party for our friend Flora. And it's going to have a bunch of great bands on the bill. All Torn Up's going to be doing a special set. Mike Moosehead from Scum City is going to be joining us that set. And they're going to be playing that show as well. So come to Grand Victory December 12th. We'll see you there. We'll have a good time. Come up and say, hey, you listen to the episode. And let me know what you think about it. Hate it, love it, whatever. Or message us, whatever. I want to thank you all for listening in. I want to thank Tommy Unit at Real Punk Radio for airing Dispatches from the Underground every Wednesday night at 11 p.m. on realpunkradio.com. If you don't know what Real Punk Radio is, go to realpunkradio.com and listen in. Some of the best punk radio stations, some of the best punk radio in the country is getting put out of that internet radio station at Real Punk Radio. So thanks, Tommy Unit. Thanks, Real Punk Radio. Love being part of that community. And I want to send a huge thank you to my brothers and All Torn Up for putting up with my bullshit for a month. This is the first chance I have had to get on Dispatches and thank them again publicly for that. You know, Philippe, Cello, Jason, Soren, my brothers in All Torn Up, plus Mike Moosehead from Scum City, Blackout Shoppers, Joey Steel and the Attitude Justice, tons of bands, and Calder and Ben also joined us on the road and helped us make sure this tour could happen. So big thanks to all those guys for making this tour happen for us. Huge thanks to Leftover Crack for having us on Cracktoberfest. Everybody in that band is someone special to us. And everybody who was working the merch table, Mike, Angela, the whole band, Alec, Donnie, Brad, was just super cool. And obviously Sturgeon and Chris, you know, It was just great to be with them every single night, and they kill it every time, every day. I want to let people know for listening in, I'm going to have an episode with Sturgeon, who had a couple commentaries on this episode, but we're going to have an episode just Sturgeon and I decompressing after this tour next week, I think. Their new album Constructs of the State is freshly out, so you can go pick that up. You should go pick that up. We're going to be talking about it in depth next week's episode. And lastly, and most sincerely, obviously, I want to thank Days and Days and their whole crew, Gray, Paxton, everyone who was with us, Veronica, while we were recording this, but especially, and Mike, obviously, who's with us when we're recording this, but I want to especially thank Jeff, who could not be with us because he had a death in his family and had to go be with his family at the end of tour. But also I want to thank Megan, Jesse, and Whitney for taking time out of the busy schedule before they go back on the road and go back home to do this episode with us. So thank you guys very much. You guys got a special place in my heart, and I love you guys. I love your dogs. I miss Honey, sweetest dog in the world. Gray's dog Honey is the sweetest dog in the world. Love that dog so much. And Kilo and everybody. I mean, it was a good time. Great tour. Happy that they got to do an episode with us and decompress a little bit. So best of luck to these guys. Hopefully y'all out there in listener land, get down with these folks when they're coming to a town near you. I'm sure they're going to be coming to a town near you. They're on tour nonstop. It's 365 for them. They were on tour. They ended this tour and they were on tour before that since fucking February. So that was almost an entire year of touring. Amazing band. So hope y'all check out Days and Days, and we'll see you soon. We'll see you next week. See you next Wednesday. Till then. Get down.